We continue our verse-by-verse study now through Psalm 119. We resume in verse 81, Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. My soul faints for your salvation, but I hope in your word. Things can get rough for Christians. Their soul can start to faint. But if we cling to the Word of God, it will inspire us and it will encourage us. For the joy that is set before us in Scripture, we can endure the troubles which God ordains for us. That's what it says about Jesus. That's what he did. Verse 82, my eyes fail for your word, saying, when will you comfort me? Notice carefully the word when here in verse 82. He knows that God will comfort him. It's not a question of if, but only when. Don't quit on God. And don't quit on the Word of God. Search the Scriptures. Read the Scriptures. Listen as they are taught. Keep on with God, and you will have a breakthrough. When you are so down that you don't see a light at the end of the tunnel, hang in there. Stay in the Word, because that light is coming. 83, for I am become like a bottle in the smoke, or like a wineskin in the smoke. Yet do I not forget your statutes. A wineskin in smoke would be dry, cracked, and just about useless. Don't let anyone tell you that if you have enough faith, that if you are holy enough, you will always feel good and everything will always be comfortable. And I know there are plenty of so-called preachers who proclaim that nonsense. If that's true, then why in the world did this man of God feel like a wineskin in the smoke, broken, brittle, and about to burst? See, that type of lying, unbiblical nonsense makes preachers rich and popular. But their lies are going to catch up to them, and someday those who believe them will rise up and condemn them. 84. How many are the days of your servant? When will you execute judgment on them that persecute me? You know, life is short. Too short to waste our days being miserable. At least that's how we feel during those times. That's how we feel. And that's how the writer felt. We want God to change things for the better right now. And that's only natural. But sometimes God has other plans. And when God has other plans, plans that wouldn't be our first choice, that's when we need to be in the Word of God more than ever. And that's also when we need to exercise faith. 85, the proud have dug pits for me, which are not after your law. In other words, the evil they do to me isn't against my law. It's against your law, God. This isn't about them and me, Lord. This is about them and you. That's always a good reminder. Anyone who hurts God's people, who purposely plans to hurt one who belongs to Jesus Christ, is opposing God himself. Someone says, well, I didn't know I was opposing God. Well, that's why God put verse 85 in this book. See? Now you know. Now you know that when you oppose God's people or you oppose the Word of God, you are literally opposing God himself. Actually, those things which bad people do to Christians are secondary. They've offended God. That's the real issue. And the thing that should fill their soul with terror is that they've been, or they're angering God, their creator, and God, their judge. And then verse 86, all your commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help you me. All your commandments are faithful. Faithfulness can be a difficult thing to find in this world. If you find a faithful friend, you've got something very special. A lot of times dogs are more faithful than people. When I was in grade school, our family had a dog, Corky. Every single day, Monday through Friday, about the time I got home from school, a little bit before that. How he knew this, I don't know, because he didn't have a watch, but he would go out to the end of the driveway and sit and wait and watch for me. I can still see him to this day. What is, 50 years ago. I can still see him when I turn the corner walking home from school. I can look down the block and I can see him at the end of the driveway looking at me half a block away. He'd sit there till I got home and then he'd make a big deal out of the fact that I was there. And about a half hour after I came home, he would go out back to the end of the driveway and sit and watch and wait until my older sister, who was in high school, came home. And then he would make a big deal out of that. And then he would wait a while and then he'd go out to the end of the driveway again and sit and watch and wait until my dad came home. And then he would make a big deal out of that. And that's what he did, faithfully, every day, Monday through Friday, until one day, old Corky got hit by a car. And he was no longer able to do what he had faithfully done for so long. He was faithful for as long as it was possible. God's word is the most faithful thing on this earth, and it never wavers, and nothing can make it waver. Nothing can stop it from being true, and nothing can stop it from being faithful. It just is. People can twist it, but it won't twist. People can change it, but it won't change. Only in the minds of liars is it twisted and changed. The Bible is what it is. And that's why I can confidently tell anyone to stand on the Word of God and base your prayers on the Word of God, because if you do, He will hear and He will answer when the time is right. 87. They had almost consumed me upon earth, but I forsook not your precepts. I didn't waver, no matter what kind of pressure was applied to me. No one could make me walk away from your word, Lord, is what he is saying. The word of God is so important that we should abide by it, even if it means death. Obedience to God is more important than staying alive. 88. Quicken or make me alive, enliven me after your loving kindness. So shall I keep the testimony of your mouth. Enliven me, God. In other words, I need to be close to you and enjoy my relationship with you. It's hard to live for God if you're not excited about God. And to be honest with you, I don't know how any Christian cannot be excited about God. After all, he's God. I do know this, it's not God's will for his people to go through life having a cold, dead, stale relationship with him. I do know that. Enjoy your Creator. Enjoy your Savior. That's what God wants. Study this book and let him remind you that he is God and he is real, because he will. Study this book and he will show you what he is really like. And if that doesn't get a person excited about him, well, then they better simplify their life and get rid of the things that are distracting them, because something is definitely out of place. 89. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. It's settled. It's not changing. The word of God is solid. Morality, truth, right, wrong. The way to heaven, Jesus being the only way to God, are things which do not change. Those things do not change because God's word does not change. This book is the only objective, everlasting truth you will ever lay your eyes on in this world. If people don't take time for God's word, then they deserve all the troubles they get for ignoring it. And believe me, they will get it. 89. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. You know that God's word existed before God created the earth? Before he created man? His word existed before he created the angels? No, it wasn't written down and bound by leather, but every word of this Bible is as old as God, and that's forever, forever in the past, forever in the future. It all existed. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, so on and so forth, have all existed in heaven from forever in the past, and none of them will ever go away. It is truth. It is truth. So, don't tell me that there's something more important here on earth than God's word, because I don't believe it. You've got in your hands something as old and pure and holy as God himself, because it is his word. 90. Your faithfulness is to all generations. You have established the earth, and it abides. Everything about God is true and reliable. He says, I'm the Lord. I change not. All of God's attributes are unchangeable. We don't have to worry about God being fickle. We know where God stands on issues, which means that people might as well conform, because he's not going to change his mind. God is faithful. He is faithful to himself, to what he believes, to what he has said. God is steady and unmovable forever, just like his word. The Bible says, your faithfulness is unto all generations. 90. Your faithfulness is to all generations. You have established the earth, and it abides. They continue this day according to your ordinances, for all are your servants. Do you know that the earth is God's servant? And so is everything on it, including all people. Now, some are wicked, rebellious servants, but they're still God's servants. Whether they know it or not, whether they want to be or not, it doesn't matter, because God is working all things together for good, for those who love him. And he is sovereign. And what's the other word that I'm thinking of? I got a brain freeze right here. Anyway, they're all his servants. Maybe it'll come to me in a minute. God owns the earth. And God owns us. We are living on God's property. We are eating his food, drinking his water, and breathing his air. We owe him. He deserves to be served. In fact, Jesus said, when we've done all that he commands, we've only done what is reasonable. God owes us nothing. We owe him everything. People need to get these things straight once and for all. The word I was thinking of was providence. God, in his providence, works everything, big, small, and in between, to conform to his perfect long-term plan. And in that sense, the earth and everyone on it, whether they believe it or not or want to or not, they're God's servants. 92. Unless your law had been my delight, I should then have perished in my affliction. He said, I've been clinging to your word, and it's helped me get through. The Bible has been given to us, at least in part, to help us to be patient, to give us comfort, and to give us hope. God's word keeps us going, and it gets us through hard times. It'll keep us from throwing in the towel and giving up on Jesus if we keep reading it. 93. I will never forget your precepts, for with them you have enlivened me. God enlivens us when we don't forget. See, I will never forget your precepts, for with them you have enlivened me. He enlivens when we don't forget. If we don't forget the Word of God, if we don't forget to keep reading it, to keep learning it, if we don't forget what it says and we don't forget to live it, then God will give us what we need when we need it. When we start forgetting, God stops giving. And eventually, we even start to lose what He had previously given. 94. I am yours, save me, for I have sought your precepts. God saves when we seek. Notice what He says, I am yours, save me. Why? For I've sought your precepts. He sought them. God saves when we seek. God says, you will seek for me, and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. God won't help those who do not seek His help. Which is why you can pray for the lost. But Scripture says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. God will save anyone, but they must want it. God saves when a person seeks. And that's not asking too much of a person. That's asking the bare minimum from a person. If a person refuses to respond to God's leading, if a person refuses to pursue God, even when God is calling them, then they deserve to burn in hell. What more can God do? What more can anyone else do? I mean, at some point, a person has to do for themselves. They have to respond to the truth that God shows them. I mean, this is what the Bible teaches. 95. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider your testimonies. He knew that people didn't like them. I should say he knew that people didn't like him, but that did not change him or his focus. He kept his focus on God's word, and he made sure that he was living by God's rules. Living by the word of God is always our best bet. Whether people are for us or against us, that's up to them. But we shouldn't let anyone keep us from obeying the word of God. 96, I have seen an end of all perfection, but your commandment is exceeding broad. Nothing in this world is perfect, and nothing in this world lasts forever. He says, I have seen an end of all perfection, but your commandment or your word is exceeding broad. Nothing in this world is perfect, and nothing in this world lasts forever. Even the most expensive car will eventually break down. Even the prettiest model gets old and dies. Even the best football player eventually must retire. But the Word of God is perfect forever. The Word of God is steady as she goes. Grab hold of God's Word and hang on, because it's the only life preserver that can get you into heaven. And then 97, oh, how I love your law. Well, how do you know that? It is my meditation all the day. See, love does not exist in a vacuum. It always does something, or it isn't real. Action makes love real. If one loves God's word more, I should say if one loves God's word, then they will read it and they will think about it and they are where it is taught whenever possible. It's very simple. If you love someone, you want to be with them. And it takes something big to keep you away. Those who love God and His Word do not let the silly, useless, and certainly the sinful things of this world keep them from the Bible. It has to be something major to keep them from God's Word, from reading it, or from where it is taught. 98. You, through your commandments, have made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. Now, I don't care if our IQ is below zero. We're smarter than a genius if we believe the Word of God and keep His commands. I'll take a good working knowledge of the Bible over a PhD any day. To please God, the Bible is the only book that you need. To do God's work, the Bible is the only book you need. To be wise and ready for eternity, the written word of God is the only book that you need. 99. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. Some highly educated people can talk for hours and never say a word. I had a professor, it wasn't in Bible college, but I had a professor who lectured for 40 minutes one day, I'll never forget it, while I took notes. And after taking notes for 40 minutes, his final sentence was, this is how he summarized everything. I think. I thought to myself, you think? You mean to tell me you don't know? You just think? I left that class frustrated. I was 21 years old. Totally frustrated. 20 years old. I just took notes for 40 minutes from a professor who didn't know for sure what he said was true. I want truth. That's all I want. Give me truth. I'm not interested in what someone thinks, or assumes, or imagines, or supposes, or suspects, or presumes. I don't care. I want truth, and I'm glad to say that I have it in God's written word. 99. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts. See, a person's age or IQ isn't the issue. God measures wisdom by faith and by obedience, not by age, diplomas, or degrees. Little children are often the wisest because they believe the word of God. A person has to live many years and go to school for a long time to learn how to be stupid enough to doubt the word of God. 101, I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep your word. Notice how he refrained or restrained his feet from every evil way. He did that. Why? So that I might keep your word. Christians who say, oh, we can't obey the word of God. We must allow God to do it through us. We must let go and let him work. I have never understood what that meant. Never. We must let go and let him do the work. I don't get that. That sounds good, but we can't let go. And the Bible doesn't even teach us to let go. The Bible doesn't teach that. Those who say that we shouldn't even try to obey God, and I've heard people say that, because the Holy Spirit must do all the obeying for us, need to take a good look at this verse. We won't obey, we can't obey, unless we restrain ourselves from doing evil. We obey the word of God when we restrain ourselves from evil. The Holy Spirit is passive power, but the Bible doesn't teach that we are to be passive. He gives us the power to obey, but we must try with all of our heart. The Holy Spirit is passive power, but we are to be active, fervent, and determined. He doesn't grab the steering wheel of our life and force us to go God's way. That's not how it works. He gives us the power and the freedom to turn our steering wheel God's way. We must do it while recognizing that it is God working in us both to will and to do his pleasure. 102, I have not departed from your judgments, for you have taught me. I don't care who the person is that's reading or teaching the Bible. They're just a conduit. When the Bible clicks, when we learn something, it is because God has graciously explained it to us. It's because God has taken the time to explain it to us. The Bible is God himself talking to you. When we obey the written word of God, we are doing what God himself has told us. See, it's not just a religion. It is a relationship. 103, how sweet are your words to my taste? Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. The Bible is holy. It is a very, very serious book. But getting back to the relationship thing, the Bible is also a source of enjoyment. To a Christian, the scriptures are as sweet as their favorite dessert. The Bible is a treat for our soul. 104. Though through your precepts, I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. He gets and he hates. He gets understanding and therefore he hates. Oh, you shouldn't hate anything. I had somebody tell me once, you shouldn't hate anything. That's foolish. And this person was a Christian. That's foolish. He gets understanding, therefore he hates every false way. He gets God's word, and so he hates anything that contradicts God's word. He gets the pure water of God's word, so naturally he hates the muddy water of sinful human reasoning or anything that contradicts the word of God. I didn't used to mind water from the faucet until I got used to drinking pure water. Now I don't even like an ice cube made from tap water. I don't like how it distorts the flavor of my drink. The word of God refreshes and satisfies, which is why things that contradict the word of God are irritating to Christians who are used to the Bible. See you next time.